So pray that I may speak and you may hear in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Where is the God of Elijah? The words of Elisha as he picked up Elijah's cloak and threw it down at the edge of the River Jordan, and the waters parted as they had done for Elijah. And the prophets on the other side of the river said, the spirit or the power of God, the power of Elijah rests on Elisha. Let's go back and set the scene for this wonderful story in the book of Kings, second book of Kings. After the reign of David and Solomon in Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of the Jews was divided in between the north and the south. The northern kingdom, which went on being called Israel, had one king who reigned in Samaria. And the southern kingdom, which adopted the name the kingdom of Judah, had another king who reigned from Jerusalem. And that went on for a very long time, in fact, until the northern kingdom was destroyed. But some years after that division of the kingdom, the king in the north, the northern kingdom, the kingdom which called itself Israel, was a man called Ahab. And Ahab had married a woman called Jezebel. And Jezebel was not a Jew, but a Sidonian. So the ports of Tyre and Sidon are over on the Mediterranean, and the king of Sidon had this daughter called Jezebel, but she wasn't a Jew, and she worshipped the god Baal. And when she came to marry Ahab and moved in with him, she also persuaded him to worship the god Baal. And they set about promoting and encouraging the worship of Baal rather than the worship of the Lord God of Israel. In that situation, when the people of the northern kingdom of Israel were falling away, turning their backs, turning away from the Lord God, the God of their fathers, God raised up Elijah. He raised him up to call the people back to the worship of the one true God, their creator and their savior. Now, Baal was, according to the Sidonians and the people of Canaan, Baal was the god of rain and fertility. So the first thing that Elijah does is call for a drought on the land. And he calls for a drought because that's a punishment for the Israelites, the people of the northern kingdom of Israel. It's a punishment because they've turned away from God and turned to Baal. So the drought, first of all, is to teach them a lesson. And secondly, of course, it's to show that it's the God of Israel who is Lord of the weather and not Baal. No doubt all the worshippers of Baal and Jezebel and Ahab were all calling on Baal during the drought to send the rain. And God didn't send the rain. After 3 years of drought, Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a competition. I'm sure you know this story. They're to meet together on Mount Carmel, and they're both to build an altar. One altar for the Lord God, the other one for Baal. And they're to slaughter an animal, it doesn't say what sort, to offer as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice to each of their gods. And then in turn, they're to call upon the name of their God and see who sends the fire to ignite and burn up the burnt offering. So the prophets of Baal dance around and cut themselves with knives and call out to Baal, 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 send the fire. And nothing happens. Baal fails. And then there's this wonderful moment where Elijah kneels and he calls on the Lord God to send the fire. And the fire descends from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. God wins. Hallelujah. That's the Lord God of Elijah. And after the competition to see who can send the fire, then Elijah prays for rain. And rain comes. A wonderful, wonderful downpour of rain, which causes the river to flood and of course nourishes the crops in time for the season's harvest. So God proves himself there at on Mount Carmel to be the God of fire and the God of rain, and to be God Almighty as opposed to Baal. Well, at this, of course, Ahab and Jezebel are furious. And Jezebel announces that she's going to have Elijah put to death. And I'm afraid to say at this point, Elijah runs away. I mean, the lovely story about these great men in the Old Testament, wonderful men of God, is that they all have ordinary human weaknesses like you and me. They're not supermen, any of them, not even Elijah. Elijah runs away. He runs way, way, way down towards the south, through the southern kingdom and into the desert. And he sits down and he says, I've had enough. I'm not going on anymore. And so he says, I wish I could die. And of course, there comes time in many of our lives when we sit down and say, oh, I've had enough. I can't be bothered anymore with all this stuff. Perhaps we don't say, I wish I could die, but the case some people do sometimes. But Elijah is just one of us. He says, I've had enough. But God hasn't had enough of him. And God hasn't finished with him, weak and at this point pitiful as he is. So he sends him on a journey right down into the desert of Sinai to Mount Horeb, where Moses first met with God in the burning bush. And there on Mount Horeb, God speaks to Elijah. And he says, go back to the kingdom of Israel. When you go back, you're to anoint three people. Hazael, the king of Damascus, further north, but not a Jew, of course. Jehu, who is one of Ahab's soldiers or commanders, and Elisha. The first two, Hazael and Jehu, are to be anointed to get rid of Ahab and Jezebel, which in due course they do. Elisha is to be anointed to be Elijah's successor. And that's where we come to this present story that we've read just now. Now is the time for Elijah to leave the world, not just by dying like we all do, but Elijah is to go up to heaven in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire, pulled by horses of fire as well. And Elisha sees Elijah being taken up to heaven in a whirlwind in this chariot of fire. And he has asked Elijah that if he's going to carry on with Elijah's work, he needs the power and the spirit of Elijah to rest upon him. And Elijah promises him that if he sees him going up to heaven in a chariot, he will inherit Elijah's spirit. And so when Elijah's gone, Elisha picks up the cloak and he comes to the border of the River Jordan and he slams the cloak down on the bank of the Jordan and he says, where now is the God of Elijah? And the waters part as they had done for Elijah. Elisha crosses over and the prophets on the other side say, the spirit or the power of Elijah now rests on Elisha. And you know, we face a very similar situation in our country today. We are part of a nation, a people, who have very largely turned their backs on the God of their fathers, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What about all those people out in the village who are not here today? And in every town and city and village in this country. We are a people who have turned away from God. And it's every bit as serious as it was in the days of Elijah. Today, we haven't turned to Baal, not by name anyway. We've turned to all sorts of other ancient gods, gods who in the ancient world had names, but now we just worship the things that they represent. In our society today, people worship sex, money, food and drink, celebrities. All you need to do is look at the television schedules and you'll see what people worship today. And just as Israel did in the days of Elijah, we need God to raise up leaders and people who will call the nation back to God, back to the God of our fathers. We need leaders who will call us to turn our hearts and our minds back to God. And you know, we all have a part to play in that. To encourage him, as it were, when he was down at Mount Horeb, God told Elijah that he had left behind the fruit of his labours, of his witness to God. He'd left behind 7,000 knees that hadn't bowed to Baal, 7,000 faithful souls who were still faithful to God in Israel. And we're, as it were, those 7,000 faithful souls. Well, not 7,000 here, or in any, not in very many parishes in England either. That's the problem. But we are the faithful souls with our leaders. And it's interesting that I'm preaching this sermon to you on the cusp of you having another leader here in Ducklington. The last leader, Paul, has just left, and the new leader, Andrea, is just about to come. So you're between Elijah and Elisha. And where is the Lord God of Elijah today, here in Ducklington? We all need our leaders, and we, the faithful people of God in each place, we all need God's Spirit and God's power working with us and in us and through us if we're to carry out this work of calling the nation, the people of this country, back to God. We need the power of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, as much as they did, as Elisha did, and as they did in days of old. Of course, the spirit of Elijah is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, that had rested on Elijah, then rested on Elisha and the prophets who came after. The same Spirit of God which came on Jesus at his baptism, also, curiously, isn't it, at the River Jordan. And then it's the same Spirit as came on the apostles and disciples in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We all need that same power and that same Spirit in order to recall our nation and our people to the God of our fathers, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's all one and the same work. We are the followers of Elijah and Elisha and the followers of Jesus and the followers of his apostles and the followers of the men and women of God down the centuries. It's all about calling fallen, sinful people to turn back to God, our Creator, our Redeemer. There is none other. In Israel, God called Elijah, Elisha, and the prophets to this work. He then sent his son, Jesus, to do this work and to consummate this work. Jesus sent his apostles to do this work, not just in Israel, but throughout the world, to the ends of the earth. Go into all the world and call people to turn back to God, their creator and redeemer. And it's our calling here in this place and in this generation and in every place. It's our calling to turn the hearts of fallen, sinful men and women back to God, our Saviour and our Redeemer. So let us pray. Lord God, the God of Elijah, the God of Elisha, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us, upon Andrea, who's to be inducted here in 10 days' time, and upon us, the faithful of Ducklington. Lord God, send your Spirit afresh. Let it fall on us, your faithful people, to call our nation and our generation back to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen.